You're listening to Feathers, a podcast of stories about God speaking and his people having just enough faith to believe him and obey. I hope these stories inspire you and encourage you to take flight in your own faith. I'm your host, Amy Bennett, and this is Season 2, Episode 14. Well, hey guys, and welcome to Feathers this week. I am so glad that you're here. This week we have someone very special to me. Her name is Wendy Blight, and she wears many different hats that I'll talk about today. I'll just tell you a quick little story about how our lives have kind of intersected this year. I found her blog way back in April and knew when I read her writing that I wanted her to be on the podcast. So I emailed her and she said she could be on, but she couldn't do it until several months later just because of her schedule. So the very next week, I was checking out my friend Jackie's podcast, It's Mud Stories, and Wendy was on the episode, and I couldn't believe it because I had just emailed her to be on mine. So, of course, right away, I listened to her episode, and God really used her story, which is not anything like mine, to confirm the steps I've been taking this year to begin speaking. So in July, then I went into She Speaks, which was also kind of a step for me towards speaking. And she led two different sessions that I attended. And in the last one, she told her story again that she had told on Mud Stories and one that she's going to tell today. But and at the end, she and Lisa Allen, which is another Proverbs 31 speaker, she anointed all the ladies there and prayed over all of them. And it was just such a special moment for me, for God to confirm a lot of the stuff he's been doing in my life. So, and since then, she's been a writer for the First Five devotional app that Proverbs 31 does. And I really enjoyed her teaching through that. And she does the weekend wrap-ups on video. So, I mean, I'm just kind of beside myself having her on the podcast, and I just know it's going to speak to you. Your story may not have anything to do with hers, but what she teaches from it is so universal, and I know the Holy Spirit will move hearts. So, enough of talking about me. Here is my conversation with Wendy Blight. Wendy, welcome to Feathers today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Amy.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you here. We have been working for months to have you, so it's so good to finally make that happen. So how about you start us off and tell us about yourself and your family?
I would love to do that because that's the favorite part of my life. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, and work with Proverbs 31 Ministries, both with the online Bible study and with the First Five. I'm on the First Five writing team, and I love doing all those things, and I teach Bible study here in Charlotte on Thursdays, but actually my favorite part of living here and being here is being a wife and a mom. My husband's name is Monty, and my children are Lauren, who is 22 and just graduated from the University of Georgia, and my son is 17, 6'7", and playing basketball for his high school, and it's his senior year. So I'm going to be an empty nest person next year. I'm very sad.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then I have a little dog who I hope will be very quiet during this interview named Tex, because we are from Texas. I was born in Texas. Went to Baylor and SMU Law School. And he is a little Bichon and sweet as can be.
Oh, that sounds like I have my little dog beside me, too. I have a Havanese named Bella. So we are in good company today. So I have to talk about First Five. Oh my gosh. So if people don't know, First Five app is the new app that Proverbs 31 has developed to spend the first 5 minutes with God every morning. So it's an app that has a verse. You guys follow along through an entire book of the Bible. And so every morning is a verse from each chapter, if I'm getting that right. And then somebody writes a devotion. You're one of the writers.
Yes. And our plan is to take you through the Bible in 4 years. So it's a huge commitment, and we have already had over 500,000 downloads since August, which is absolutely just a phenomenal response. And with the community that's developing there, the comments, the way the women interact and pray for each other and encourage us and correct us sometimes, it is It's just incredible, Amy. It is beyond what we ever thought this would be, really. It's something only the Lord could do.
Well, I have been enjoying it. I was at She Speaks this year when it launched, and it was so fun seeing that sort of behind the scenes and excitement. And I've been following along with each book, and I've just enjoyed it so much. And I always get excited when your name pops up as the – I mean, I get excited about all of them, but I don't know. You've just been actually a really good part of my – big part of my journey this year that I've been on. And, you know, I've heard you – speak on Jackie Watkins' podcast, Mud Stories, and then hearing you speak at She Speaks. So you've definitely been an integral part between that and First Five and everything. So appreciate so much all the work, because I know it's a lot of work.
Wow, thank you. I practiced law for several years, and that was work. That was like really hard work. And I just think about what I do now and how good God is, because I use a lot of those same skills as a Bible study teacher to research and write and persuade, but it's just not like work. And I'm sure you know what I mean. When you're mm-hmm. really working on something you have a passion for and you love, it's totally different. You can spend 6 hours a day researching and working, and it's wonderful because I love what I'm doing. So just to hear you say that really blesses me, because I do love, absolutely love what I do.
That's so good. It blesses both of us. Okay, so I want to get into your story, because I have heard the story. I did actually hear it on Jackie's podcast, and then you spoke a little bit about She Speaks, and I'm happy to hear it another time, because it's just so powerful, and happy to share it with my listeners here. But your story really is about obedience and learning the blessings that follow, and how we really learn to obey. And it's such a powerful story. So could you take us back kind of to the beginning of that and talk to us about it?
Yes, because if you had told me in 1986, when I graduated from Baylor, that I would ever be doing what I'm doing now, I really just would have laughed, because I didn't have a very strong faith. And then I had a really difficult event happened in my life that I'm about to share with you, in which I really was so angry with God for so long. I really wanted nothing to do with him. And it's just really, this whole story is about his goodness and his grace and his faithfulness and his power to heal. But I had just graduated from Baylor University. It was May of 1986, and I was engaged to be married to the man I am now married to. And it was a Saturday, and a lot of my friends were leaving that Sunday after graduation to start new jobs or go home before they would go to grad school. And so I was out by the pool with a bunch of them, and we were just laying by the pool in that hot Texas heat. And we were going to go out later that evening to celebrate our graduation. And I, of course, wanted to get as tan as possible, because I was starting a new job with the university on Monday. So I stayed out till about 4 by the pool, and I went upstairs to get ready, and I walked in my apartment, and I walked towards the front door, and I noticed that the front door was locked, which, of course, now we know is a good thing, but in college, a lot of times you don't lock your doors because you don't want to carry your keys. So the fact that it was locked sort of made me go, wow, that's really strange. But I ignored it, and I walked up the stairs, and I had my head down, and I was just thinking about what I would wear that night and all the things girls think about. And when I got to the top step, I looked up, and there was a man in a mask standing there holding a very large hunting knife, wearing leather gloves. And at first I looked at him and I go, this isn't funny. Who are you? Because I just thought it was a joke. It was so surreal that someone would be standing there at the top of my stairs like that. But he then grabbed me by the arm, and by the look in his eyes, I knew it wasn't a joke. But he walked me back down the stairs. So in that little bit of time, I thought, okay, he's just hiding from police, or he wants money. But then, Amy, he proceeded to walk me around my entire apartment to lock every door, pull down every blind. And then he walked me back towards the stairs where the kitchen was and had me take the phone off the hook, and then forced me back towards the stairs. And so then I sort of reached out for that front door, And he slammed me against the wall and he said, "Do that again and I will kill you." And then he forced me up the stairs and into my room. And when I got in my room and he pushed me over towards my bed and he was standing between me and the door, it's then I knew what was going to happen to me. And so I just began to cry and beg him to leave, that I didn't know who he was. He had a mask on. I wouldn't tell anybody, but he then proceeded to, you know, ask me to take off my clothes and get on the bed. And a feeling of terror, like I had never known, just filled me from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. And it's, you know, you hear people talk about this, and I never knew what they meant, but it was as if in that moment, my part of me, like, was left my body and was just looking down. And I think sometimes it's God's way of just saving you, that you just sort of, it's like an out-of-body experience would happen to me for the next few hours. And then when he was finished, he climbed off of me, he kneeled down next to my bed, and he held the knife very close to my neck, and he whispered in my ear, "Count to 100 before you get out of this bed, and if you tell anyone what happened to you today, I will come back and do worse to you." Mm-hmm. And then he just walked out of my apartment and out of my life, never to be seen again. And it left me in a really, lonely, terrible, angry, bitter place.
And Wendy, at this time, were you a believer?
Yes. I grew up Catholic, and then, of course, Baylor, for anyone who doesn't know, is a Baptist university, and I went to church. And so I would tell you that, yes, I believed in God, I believed in Jesus, that he was my Savior, but I would not say I had any kind of personal relationship with Jesus, and I certainly was not anywhere reading the Bible a lot or anything like that. You know, I went to sorority Bible study every now and then when it was convenient, but yeah, that's kind of where I was in my faith, but I did believe in God. And I think that's what was really hard for me, because I believed in God, but I had a misconception of God and of what mm-hmm. it meant to be a Christian or a person who believed in God. I think I thought you were pretty safe from bad people. Mm-hmm. And so my anger at God, the good news is, because I had a very analytical mind, which is what led me to law school, is I wanted to figure out why this happened to me. And I was really wanting to question God. And I did have a very good friend who I so admired her faith. And I said to her, "I need to understand why this happened. How could God sit on his throne in heaven and watch this horrific thing be done to one of his children? I could not comprehend that." And it made me not want to trust God, not to believe in God. But really, Amy, what I felt was three things. Either that God, he created us, he came down to earth, but he's not an all-powerful God. So when things like this happen, he just can't do anything about it, but he's there if we need him. The second one was, God is all-powerful and he is still available to us, but not right now. Like, he left the earth for a while. Good and evil will fight it out, but one day he'll come back and one day good will triumph again. But in the meantime, we have to work through this. You know, we have to work through the evil and the good. But then the third one that came to me was that God is all powerful and God does love me. But for some reason, he allowed this to happen to me. And the way I was going to find my answer from my friend Lindy was when she said, "You just have to get in the Bible. You have to read. You have to ask God for wisdom." And I just loved what she said. What she taught me was, when you read scripture, Wendy, she said, you need to pray and ask God for your mind to be able to receive revelation and wisdom. And revelation is asking God to unveil spiritual truths. Truths or truths that are promises in his word, that are so that's in his word, things that are for us. But then wisdom is giving insight and understanding to those spiritual truths so that we can really begin to apply them and they can bring life transformation. And so that's really what I started to do, was read the Bible. And I didn't read it a lot, and it was very hit or miss. And I had some really, what I call, I share in my book, Hidden Joy, really some major God moments, places where God intersected my life and really spoke to me. And I really want to focus on the last two during our time together. But the first one was in a meeting with the president of the university. And what I really want to share about that is he talked about having a life verse. He told me that when he went through a hard time in his life, that God gave him a life verse, which was something that comes from God's word, a piece of a revelation, and it's supposed to speak into a question we have, a doubt we have. And God did that with him in Romans 8:28 and Romans 8:38 and 39, the first one being all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Well, I will tell you, in that moment, any Christians who said that to me, I was so angry, because I thought God would never, ever, ever make good from the awful things that were done to me that day. I could not comprehend that, so that made me angry. And then the other thing, Romans 8:38 and 39, that Dr. Reynolds said was that there's nothing that can happen to us that can ever separate us from God's love, no matter what it is. And Paul walks through all sorts of things in Romans. So I had that sort of on the front end, but I was really doubting it all. But it was tucked in my mind. But what came next was probably 5 or more years later. So I lived, and I want you to hear me and anyone listening, I lived held captive by fear. I was fearful all the time. I wouldn't stay by myself for many, many months, if not maybe a full year. I wouldn't even take a shower unless someone was either in the bathroom with me or like within the room where they could see the door. I wouldn't go on elevators if I was with a man, even if that meant I had to get on and off. If I would be alone with men in an elevator, I wouldn't walk in empty places I didn't know. I was terrified to go up sets of stairs. At my in-laws' house, I can remember years later, I just lived held captive by fear for so long.
Yeah, and Wendy, I just want to interrupt you, because I think I interrupted you before with a story. But after, I wanted to move the story forward a little bit to let your listeners know that you know, after this happened, how you never found out who it was, and your husband's response.
Yes, and I appreciate that. We never did learn who it was. We had an idea, then we thought we knew who it was, and we were able to get him removed, expelled from the university, but we just never did have enough proof to actually take anything to trial. So that was really difficult for me. And there's a whole chapter in the book on having to learn how to forgive when you can't receive that I'm sorry from someone or the justice that you want. But Monty, he did, Amy. It was just amazing. He stayed with me. He married me. And we went through some very tough years as young married people. But he never left me, and as hard as it got, he was just always there for me. And I look back now, and I really think that he really modeled for me God, you know, the love of God, the unconditional love of God, and put up with a lot.
Yeah, and so that's where we come into the years. You guys are together, but you're dealing with this fear.
Yes. And so we attended a church called Highland Park United Methodist Church. And one Sunday, we had a brand new preacher. It was his second Sunday preaching. And he began to preach a sermon. And the sermon had nothing to do with what happened to me or anything else. I have no idea why the Lord said, you need to go talk to that man. And so in my heart, I was like, okay. So I called that very next Monday, spoke to his secretary and said, I would like to come meet with Pastor Craig. And she said, well, what's it about? And I said, you know, I'm really not sure why I'm supposed to come. I just know I'm supposed to come. And Now, this was a 10,000 member Methodist church. And I was a young 20-something, thought I wouldn't get to see him for weeks. And he personally called me back and said, I would love to meet with you. Can you come this whatever day it was later in the week? And which was astounding. And when I went, I started to just pour out what happened to me, how tired I was living the way I was, being fearful. I wanted my old life back. And he interrupted me and he asked me if I'd ever read the story from John chapter 5 of the basically that it's the man on the mat is what I call it. But it is the story where Jesus is returning from Jerusalem, and near the sheep gate, there's the pool of Bethesda. And all these sick and lame people were there around the pool, and they would, you know, fight to be the first one in that water, because it was believed, it was really a legend that wasn't biblical, in other words, that an angel used to come and touch that water, and the first one who would get in would be able to be healed. But Jesus, this is just such a powerful story of Jesus having a personal connection with someone in Scripture that I had never paid attention to before. But when Jesus saw the man on the mat, and he had been lying on that for 38 years, out of all those people that he was walking by, all these sick people, he walked right up to this man and he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" And of course, in my mind, I'm sitting there with my pastor thinking, but unfortunately, the words actually came out of my mouth to my pastor. I was like, "That's such a stupid question. Of course, he wanted to get well." And Pastor Craig just looked at me and smiled at me. And he said, "Why don't we move on, Wendy, and finish reading the story?" And I realized I just said to my pastor that Jesus asked a stupid question. So anyway, the sick man, his words were so fascinating. He said, "I can't, sir. I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm trying to get there, someone else always gets in ahead of me." And Jesus then responded, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." And Pastor Craig looked at me after I finished reading that story and he said, "Wendy, do you want to get well?" And I wanted to ask him why he was asking me such a stupid question, because that's why I was there with him, but I didn't. I just said, "Yes, that's why I'm here." And Amy, he looked me deep in my eyes and he said, "I don't think you do." And he said, "I think you've become very comfortable on your mat and people feel sorry for you. And you have all sorts of excuses and reasons." And in that very moment, it's like the Word of God, where Hebrews 4:12 tells us the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, to penetrate our soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's as if in that moment, that living Word came alive and it was active in my heart because it convicted me. And His words convicted me. Jesus didn't even hear the excuse the man offered about someone always gets in ahead of me, I can't get there. Jesus didn't accept those excuses. He just looked at him and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." And Pastor Craig said, "Wendy, God has an abundant life for you." He goes, "I don't know if anybody's ever told you, but there's this abundant life that God has for everyone, a plan to use you to do great things for the kingdom of God." He goes, "And you will never know that plan. You will never walk in that plan unless you take a step off your mat." And so we sat in the office that day and I prayed with him and he made me commit to take one step off my mat. And that step was, the next time my husband went out of town, I would try to stay by myself. And I mean, for years and years, I can't even tell you how many, I still, from the day of that rape until then, which had to have been at least 5 years or more, never stayed by myself. I always had someone stay with me or I stayed with someone else. And I will tell you, it was hard. And I put on every TV, I put on our alarm, all the lights were on, I checked under every bed. You know, I had my husband on speed dial. It was crazy, but you know what? I didn't sleep all night, but when the sun rose the next morning, I had stayed one night by myself. Mm. And it was obedience. It was nothing but obedience, because I read that story. I saw what that man did. And I heard my pastor say, if I didn't want the promises that God had for me, all the abundant promises that he had for my life. Unless I obeyed and took this step off my mat, I would not ever become the beneficiary of all of that.
And so I guess that began a series of you just continually, I mean, I'm guessing nothing was healed after the first time, right? I mean, it had to have taken step after step.
Yes. So really what happened was there were many, you know, steps forward, steps backwards. And we lived in Dallas until from 1987 when we got married until 1998. So I guess that was 11 years. And then my husband got a job here in Charlotte. And I had taken a lot of big strides, but what I would say to you is I still, I didn't stay by myself all the time, but I was getting more and more comfortable reading my Bible more and more, praying more and more, growing and all of that. And then when we moved, I really believed that was going to be my 100% all better healing, because I thought I'm leaving behind the state where this person might still be living if he's paying attention to me. Those crazy things happen when you've been the victim of a crime or even probably been betrayed by someone. You constantly think that they're thinking about you and they're going to come back or they're going to hurt you. And in this situation, so I thought moving to Charlotte, it's going to make everything all better because I will be removed from all the memories. But that's not the case, because location has nothing to do when a spirit of fear has a hold on you, because it's not from the Lord and it stays with you. So when we moved here and I was in a place where no one knew what happened to me, everything was unfamiliar. All the sounds in my house that I once was used to, now I was scared of every sound. And I felt like I took 100 steps backwards with my fear. And it was so hard. And thank goodness a friend of mine invited me to a Bible study, and like a real Bible study. For the first time, I was going to a Bible study where it was just you have the Bible and you have your teacher and that's it. No workbook or anything. It's like read the word and come and listen to what she has to say and do small group. And as I began that journey, I think for the first time I exposed myself to not me picking up the Bible, reading it when I needed help or when I needed God's, you know, I needed some affirmation or I needed some comfort. Now I'm moving through the book of Genesis. And it was in that process of reading like the fullness of a book of the Bible, not for personal reasons, but just to get to understand God and who he is. And his character and his faithfulness through all those generations of people, something began to happen in my heart. And that it's really important for us to know. Romans says that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. Our faith comes and our faith grows when we are in the word of God. And then obedience comes when we trust that word and we trust God. And so what was happening to me is I had been obedient and seen some blessings, but my faith really wasn't growing. So now that I was spending so much time in the word, my faith began to grow and obedience became a little bit easier. So here I am living in Charlotte, growing in my faith, but still afraid and having once again to stay with people or have someone come stay with me. I'm living with the practical reality of fear, even though my faith is growing. Well, one day I was home by myself, and I really want you to hear, I had been just learning a lot about spiritual warfare and about how Satan doesn't want us to grow in our faith, because it means, once again, like getting off the mat. If Satan can keep us in a place of fear or self-pity or doubt, It's like being on a mat once again, because we won't know the abundance of the life God has for us. And so this fear that I had been living with, my teacher was telling me, this is not of the Lord's. God does not give a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so my teacher was teaching me and helping me and mentoring me. it's your mind, Wendy. You've got to get this, replace this fear with truths from God's word. And she goes, if you do that, you will become victorious, because in Romans 8, it tells us we are, I think it's Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who's in us. So I just needed to start to take thoughts captive, which is what scripture says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Am I moving too fast? I get so excited when I talk about this.
No, you're doing great. Thank you.
So I went back to the word, and this is what I just want to tell anybody listening, that if you're struggling with fear, or you're struggling with patience, or you're struggling with anger, if you go to, I went to my concordance in the back of my Bible, or nowadays you can just Google verses on fear, verses on anxiety, verses on anger. And I found these scriptures. And Amy, what I learned to do was not just read the scripture, but I learned to personalize them, meaning I learned to put my name in them and I learned to pray them. So I found four scriptures. Isaiah 41:10 was the first, which says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and uphold you with my right hand." So for example, I would start to say, "Wendy, do not be afraid, for God is with you. Do not be dismayed, for God is with me. God is my God." And so I did that. Then I found Psalm 34:4. It said, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." So I said, "Thank you, Lord, that you hear me, that you answer me, and that you will deliver me from these fears." Psalm 23:4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That really is personalized already. But the one that was so powerful to me was Psalm 91:4 through 6. And I read it in my old Bible. My grandmother had given me that green Bible, the Living Bible, I think it was called. But listen to these words. It says, "He will shield you with his wings. They will shelter you. His faithful promises are your armor. You don't need to be afraid of the dark anymore, nor fear the dangers of the day, nor dread the plagues of darkness, nor disasters in the morning." And when I read that, that was me, Amy. That was me, that I was afraid of the dark, and I feared every day. Do I answer the door because there's someone out there I don't know? Where do I park in the parking lot? Did I hear somebody when I was in the shower? I was just so afraid all the time. Should I get into that elevator? And I took those scriptures. I memorized them. I put them in my laundry room, in my kitchen. I just prayed them like never before. I believed them like never before. God says in Isaiah 55:11, "When my word goes out from my mouth, it will not return empty. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes for which I sent it." That living and active word, when we speak it into a situation, it's like a seed. It's like we're planting it into our hearts and into our minds. And it begins to just birth something in us that is crazy. It's a faith. It's a belief. And that's when change came. And so let me just share this is my favorite story. It's how I end the portion in my book that talks about this. But it's the best example I can give of just persevering in a place of hardship by trusting God and being in the Word. So I had a night where my husband was going to travel. So I had my usual routine I told you about earlier. But I had children now, so they were in their beds, and I had turned the lights on and had the TV on, and I was laying on my bed in my room. And one of the things I always did was, if I was alone, if I was staying by myself, I'd call a friend to say, "I'm staying alone, please pray for me." So I did that this time. I called my friend Meg, and she said, "Bill and I will pray for you." And she hung up the phone. And while I'm laying there, it was like the Lord impressed on me, "Wendy, turn off the television." And I was like, no, because then I'll hear every sound, but I'll turn it down. And so I took the little remote and turned the volume down. And it was just as if God was impressing upon me, "Off, Wendy, off." And I turned that television off. And I laid there. And it was so quiet. And I waited and waited for that fear that had come for 15 years at this point. And I waited. And you know what? It just never came. Amy, there was this peace this transcending peace that just came over my body like I hadn't felt in that many years, 15 years or maybe more. I don't even know if I'd ever known that peace. And all of a sudden, there was this vision of this wall of angels around my house. Like, that was what brought me peace. There was just this protection around my house. And so I got next to my bed and I just wept on my knees. And then before I even called Monty, I called my friend Meg and I told her the whole story. And she was so quiet. And finally I said, "Meg, did you hear what I said? God answered our prayers." And she said, "Wendy, I just have to tell you what Bill and I prayed." She goes, when we hung up the phone, he prayed for a wall of angels to be around your house. Wow. And I knew in that moment that this was my story to tell, because it wasn't a passage of time. It wasn't a coincidence. It was like God wanted me to know, "You have been faithful, my child. You have been in my word. You have trusted my word. You have prayed. You have obeyed. And now you are free." And now you are free. And that freedom has become this backdrop to the most beautiful testimony. That ugly day in my life that I thought destroyed me has now become a testimony that has led to, you know, teaching and writing and books, and it's just amazing.
That's the third time I've heard that story, and it still like is choking me up. gosh, God is so powerful. Oh my goodness. I've said so many notes that I took while you were speaking. But I just want to say praise God for that. I have dealt with fear for quite a bit of my life, in that verse that you said, 2 Timothy 1:7, "God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind." And I have just learned as well that it really does come back to God's word. And what I have said and what I've learned is that we can be faithful and we can be obedient because he is faithful, but we have to get in scripture to know that. And so it really does all start with his word. And I love that you said it's like a seed. I have been studying John 15 for several months now, and that is exactly what I've seen, is that God's word, it starts with reading his word and that word remaining in you. And it's like a seed that, and then we begin to pray it, just like you were talking about, praying very specifically. And then God calls us to, you know, somehow act that out. You know, there's a piece of obedience on our part. But then because of that obedience, he births the fruit of the Spirit. And it sounds like to me that he brought so much peace and joy and all kind of things from your life. So I just love that correlation for me, especially this year, all the digging I've done in God's word. So that to me is just a blessing. And of course, I love that you shared Psalm 91:4, which is he will cover you with his feathers and under his wings you will find refuge, because that's what this whole podcast is based off of. So...
Well, and you know, oh my goodness. I want to tell you just something about the feathers. It's not related to my, you know, this book or anything, but I share this in my new book that's coming out about feathers. And when my daughter was diagnosed with scoliosis, and we tried every way possible, including laying on of hands, taking her to elders to do anything except to have that surgery that was going to be, you know, 7.5 hours, put rods in her spine. And God just chose not to answer all those. He didn't choose to heal her the way that I begged, was to not have that surgery. We tried all these alternative treatments. And finally, it was quite clear that if she didn't have surgery, she was going to be, besides being in a lot of pain. And a woman in my Bible study brought me the most beautiful. She brought Lauren and I each handmade boxes filled with feathers.
Aww.
Filled with feathers with that scripture. And I took it to the hospital. And as she was rolled in from her surgery, and it was, you know, she was in so much pain. And I kept thinking, "God, how can this be good? How can this be good?" And we laid there in the night, and we woke up in the morning, and that little box was there. And the next morning, and it was Christmas. She had to be in there over Christmas. And I just was so sad. But then I just remembered back to that psalm, and just, gosh, when you know the word like that, when you know how faithful God was before. I laid there in that bed with her next to her, and I knew he would be faithful again. So I see why you love Feathers, because it was just so beautiful to me and for Lauren to just see God's faithfulness. And that surgery really for her was the best thing, because for a 16-year-old to go through such a difficult journey, to trust God and be so angry and not understand, but come out and see how he grew her faith through that. But it was because I had that child in the Word and people were praying the Word over her. And I just can't say enough, Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. And for anyone listening that you feel, I don't have that kind of faith, you can have that kind of faith. God made you to have that kind of faith. But it doesn't come unless we're in the Word, and you will be blown away at how God will grow your faith when you spend time with him in the Word.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Oh, thank you so much, Wendy. So powerful. So let's talk a little bit. You mentioned your book that's coming out. I believe it's all about the names of God. Did I have that right?
Yes.
Oh, so excited to learn from your study about God and his Word. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, it's really funny how it came to be, if I have a second to share with you. I've been teaching Bible study for many, many years. I'm not sure what this says about me as a Bible study teacher, but so I've been teaching for probably now 11 years. I've written a lot of our studies, and a few years ago, we were bowling. One of the things we did as a group, we would go do stuff to, you know, have fellowship. And so we were bowling, and one of our women got a call that her husband had been rushed to the hospital, and they were going to have to do emergency procedure because of something wrong with his heart. So she and a few girls left. I gathered the rest of us to pray at the bowling alley, right there in the middle, and I opened my prayer with Jehovah Rapha, which is God the healer, and prayed to him to heal her husband and be with the doctors, and was very specific with what I prayed. And unbeknownst to me, one of our friends elbowed another girl in the group and said, "Why is Wendy praying to another God?" And I didn't hear that, but later on, my friend Sharon said, "Kim wants to know why you were praying to that Jehovah Rapha." And I thought, oh my gosh, this is a Bible study I need to do for these girls, because I myself knew the names of God, but I didn't know a lot about them, but I knew you could call on them in prayer. So I decided to do a study on names of God, and I did 8 or 9 names of God. And this is an in-depth Bible study. We don't study a lot of names. There'll be 8 names in this book. And it's an in-depth study, not only to learn how the name came about, who gave the name, what it means. We spend a lot of time in the Old Testament, of course, because that's where the names came from. But the last, it's 5 days, 5 weeks. And on the 5th day, there's 5 days of study in each week. We see how that name is a fulfillment. How Jesus fulfills that name. I'm really big on tying together Old and New Testament. Mm-hmm. So that's what it is. It's an in-depth Bible study on the names of God, and then how Jesus fulfills each of the names that we talk about. So we talk about El Roy and Jehovah Rapha and Elohim and El Elyon, the Most High God, and Jealous God, who's all-consuming fire, Abba Father. So that's just some of the names.
I love that. I can't wait. So what's the date? What's the release date of that?
It will be released in January, and it's with the same, it's an inscribed study, so released under HarperCollins, Thomas Nelson, and I'm just so excited, and I'm in the process now of writing a 5-day sort of free devotional like I did with Living So That called, I haven't even named it yet, so if you have an idea, good idea, but it'll be the same idea, so it'll give people a free taste or a sneak peek sort of what it will look like inside the pages of the book. And that'll be all be on my blog, which is www.wendyblight.com, and hope to have that done in the next probably month.
So awesome. Well, you covered the next thing I was going to ask of where to find you online. So thanks for that. And I just can't thank you enough for spending some time with me today and sharing your story.
Amy, I just think what you do is amazing because you interview so many different kinds of people, and there are so many different kinds of women. I know today you and our heart was for women who are really held bound up by something, no matter what it is, that's a stronghold in their life. But so many of your other podcasts are just such a beautiful blessing because you just can reach people where they are, and you're so real. So I'm honored to just be included among the amazing guests you have.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Wendy. I know the one thing that always sticks out to me about Wendy is how she loves scripture. I'm always so challenged how she loves scripture, and I'm just always just so inspired to read and memorize scripture and just use it to fight all the battles I have, you know, with that sword of the Spirit. She actually talked about the armor of God at She Speaks. But I love that she used the scripture as a way to fight the fear that she was feeling and because of what had happened to her. But also, I think it's really important to note that in response to praying those scriptures, that God responded back to her and asked her to take steps of obedience, like staying by herself and turning the TV off. I've actually taught about this in the one or two sessions that I've taught, is that God speaks to us first in scripture, and we begin to pray that scripture, but then the Holy Spirit will remind us of that scripture, and then a lot of times ask us to do something in response to that. And I have seen it over and over in this podcast that God requires active obedience from us. But the beautiful thing is that when we do that, He responds again with such beautiful healing and blessings that we just can't get anywhere else. But it always starts in His scripture, and once we obey, then His blessings follow. Another thing that popped out to me as she was talking that we didn't really have a chance to talk about is how she talked about how she moved from Texas into Charlotte, and she really thought, you know, her problems were just going to go away. And I think it's really important to talk about is when our problems are emotional and spiritual in nature, that they're going to follow you wherever you go. So I know there's some of you that, you know, you have that fight or flight syndrome, and you feel like, you know, if I just leave and I just leave my problems, they're going to go away. But they're not. When we have a spiritual problem, we have to fight them in spiritual ways. And so I just want to encourage you to get into scripture, find those scriptures that you can use to battle with. And you're going to have to do that no matter where you are, no matter where you go. So just want to really encourage you to do that. So guys, I hope you really enjoyed this. I know I really did. If you want to leave a comment or see the show notes and link over to her blog and all her books and everything, it's over at featherspodcast.com. And I hope you really enjoyed it. We will see you next time on Feathers.